The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You just sat, yeah. Like if he made a play or somebody, yes, made a play, you wouldn't go, hey.
Yeah.
Good catch.
I think that's weird.
I'd give it a golf clap. Gabe, I'm huge on the golf clap.
Okay, all right.
So more of a...
So you don't understand the full-on big clap. You're more of a small clap.
Can we give us a,
that's
give us
a very
clap.
Nice play.
Give us a clap. Okay.
All right. So, wait, it's, so I don't know.
So when you go, man, you're really going to be lost at the Ryder Cup, aren't you? Like, there's not a lot of golf clapping going on there, despite it being a golf event, because it's a different type of atmosphere. People are going nuts. They're going crazy for good shots. Are you going to clap?
Probably not. I'll just say, wow, that's a nice shot.
Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I'll tell you where I don't understand clapping. There are two situations. I do not understand the people that clap after a movie in the movie theater, which makes no sense. Because to me, the point of the applause is that you are showing, you know, whoever did the good thing. So at a sporting event, you know, hey, nice catch. You know, you're showing your appreciation. You know, if I clap, you know, it's not like if I'm at a James Bond movie, it's not like Daniel Craig's there to understand that I appreciated his performance throughout the course of the movie. Nobody's there. I don't understand the applause there. And I also do not understand the people who clap after the airplane lands.
I mean, I don't get
you
it,
ever
but
been
I get
on
it.
Some bad flights? No, I've been on some bad flights. I just remember everyone. We were flying into Tampa one year. And Reggie had his place. Everyone has a place where they seat on the plane. It's, you know, there's no name tags on there, but it's understood. And I just remember going at the Tampa one time at night in the middle of a thunderstorm, and we were all over the place. And next thing you know, Reggie had every seat around him taken.
I expect to see you all at chapel on Sunday.
Yeah. So I felt safe. As long as Reggie's on the plane or a priest, as rocky as it can get, we're still landing.
You still feel fine
but
about
never
it.
Been to a, I've never been to a movie where they clap at the end.
Well, and that's because you probably leave before the movie's over.
Good point. Ashton, have you?
Yes, I've been to... It mostly happens after premieres. Like a premiere of a big movie, people will get up and clap afterwards.
Yeah, like opening weekend, that Friday, Saturday.
I remember I went and saw... It came out in 2012, so that would have been Dark Knight Rises, I think.
Sure.
So Dark Knight Rises I saw at a midnight showing when it came out, and people definitely stood up and clapped after it ended. I did not. I want to reserve it. I did not, but people definitely did.
I just don't understand it. Like, well, you know, who are you clapping for?
The people in the movie. They can hear you. They definitely know that you were there watching the movie clapping.
It's not a Broadway show. It's not live what happened in front of you. I just don't understand. We were talking about TV dinners. 800-990-3776. Our TV dinner, is the poll just as simple as TV dinners, good, bad?
Well, I put up one as just like a perfunctory, just like when initial poll. I think there's several polls we can get out here with TV dinners. Just one, do you like TV dinners? Just very simple. So okay. Far, 40 votes in, 63% of people saying no. Now, we have one response from Ben tweeting in saying, and this is a good question, can you get Salisbury steak any other way than a TV dinner? I don't know if you can.
Oh, yes, I have seen it. Yeah. I have.
We used
to
make Salisbury steak. So apparently Jake from State Farm, who tweets into us, 800-990-3776, saying Salisbury steak is just hamburger without the bun. And I think it's a little different than that. Maybe like 98% of it is the same. But I feel like I had Salisbury steak growing up. Like our church used to have Salisbury steak like dinners to raise money.
I think it all goes back to turkey.
What?
Okay.
The country?
It all goes back to turkey. Okay? If turkey is so great and everyone loves the taste and it's so wonderful, why don't they serve it in restaurants?
I mean,
they really don't. You don't go to a nice restaurant and, "Oh, we have turkey on the menu." It doesn't happen.
They have it on like the seniors menu. Like the 55 and over, over? Like you go somewhere and look at like they have like a diner.
No,
and
I'm saying I'm saying not a what's the Cracker Barrel place you guys like. I'm talking just a nice, you know,
not the restaurants
$30
that you peasants
plate.
Go to. The restaurants that Chewy and his wife happen to go.
I'm just get Craig back on here. Craig will agree with me.
I agree with you on turkey. Here's the thing we haven't even talked about with TV dinners yet. It's the desserts.
Okay, so Dan in Tosa hits us up, 800-990-3776. I don't know about y'all, but there's not many desserts that can compare to the TV dinner peach cobbler dessert. It's fantastic. You
that
never
is
get enough
good.
Because you only get three spoonfuls. Here's the problem with the TV dinner dessert. It is either rock solid frozen or it is melted lava that you cannot consume because it is way too hot and therefore has no flavor. Like the brownie. Like the brownie makes no sense in this thing. Like the brownie ends up either melting and just being chocolate goo or it's just a puck. It's just a hockey puck.
Again, it's been a while for each of us except for Chewy apparently, but like the brownie that they give you in the Kid Cuisine or in a Hungry Man, I think they used to do a brownie maybe, like it's not they're giving you the batter. They're giving you just a frozen brownie and saying, here, warm this up. Cut a little slit over this one. You also have to do this, like, architectural work with the plastic on TV dinners, which never made sense for kids because if kids were handling themselves, you really want them handling a knife? Great job, Kid Cuisine.
No, but there's no perfect TV dinner because you get the Hungry Man's and they're giving you the beans instead of the corn that Banquet does, right? Now, clearly the best is the mashed potatoes, the Salisbury steak, the corn, and then the peach. Is it cobbler, Gabe?
Yeah, that's what we got
that's
from Dan
perfect.
Tosa. The peach
that's
cobbler.
Perfect, but no one does the perfect one, which is so great. They should have TV dinner vending machines. Potatoes, two Salisbury steaks, extra corn, and the peach cobbler. That'd be wonderful, right? They could do that. I mean, it's
no.
2021.
There's too much corn, also. This is my issue. Now, longtime listeners to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy will know that I do not like corn because I think it doesn't taste good and the texture is all off and I think it's a pointless food. But I think now that we're talking about TV dinners, corn is in every damn TV dinner that's ever existed. I think this is why I don't like corn.
Because you had too much
not
corn as a kid.
It's got to be it. Now, what are you talking about? Hungry Man always has corn. I'm looking at everything. It's either green beans, which are great, or corn.
Green beans.
Yeah, but not every one. Most of them are corn.
So Chewy,
well, the only ones I get
as the only person
beans.
That we've talked to so far on this show that has had a TV dinner in the last decade, do they? Is it still like okay? You have to peel the plastic off of this part, then you have to take a little scalpel and then like just carefully cut around this one because you don't want the plastic over this. Then you have to put a little slit over the dessert. Is it still very complicated in order to get with the plastic and all
no.
that?
You remove the plastic. You take the problem with the plastic is it shreds. I'm like, why can't they make a plastic where you peel it back and it just all comes off? You know what I'm saying? It shreds. You got a this and that. You don't need that. There's no cutting a hole. You don't get a TV dinner and be precise about it. Roll the plastic back a minute 30. You're going to hit some cold spots, but that's the price you pay with being able to eat something in a minute 30.
So
right?
What you're telling me is you do not read any sort of the instructions that come with your Hungry Man. That's from everything you
said,
that's what I understood.
Directions are just really a suggestion.
No, they're not.
Right? Yes, they are.
They're not.
I'm telling you. They're just a suggestion, you know. I mean, like with medication for me, right?
Okay.
I'm twice as big as most people out there, right? So 1 to 2 Advil every 3 hours doesn't work for someone like me, right? Just like it shouldn't work for someone that's 70 pounds, right?
He's got a point. Like, he's got a point. He's got a point. Because, I mean, we've got Jen here.
Directions.
Man, because Jen's here, right? Like, we have Jen here every day. And it does not make sense that, you know, the Advil limit would be the same for Jen as it would be for Chewy.
Thank you.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
I will agree with that specific example, even though as a whole, I want it on the record, I totally disagree with Chewy's sentiment here. But here's the thing about directions. Let's say an Advil bottle. What if they did it by weight and height? Would you still listen to it then, Chewy?
I would take it into consideration as a suggestion.
So I rest my case.
Let's take Jen, for example. If Jen drank a beer, and I drank a beer. Who's going to be more inebriated?
Yes.
Jen would be.
Right? Yeah, so that's why it's a suggestion. Ashton.
There's no directions on drinking beer, though.
Yeah, there's, and they actually do, you know, like height and weight factors in when they start talking about how much you're going to be inebriated in terms of how many beers you have per
hour. Blood alcohol content. No, this is ridiculous. I honest to God cannot believe.
No, it is not.
Okay, what if you, let's do directions as a suggestion. If you're going to IKEA or somewhere else in Target and you got to put together furniture, if you don't follow the directions, something will be broken or off.
No, because they always put too much in there, right?
I've never had that issue.
No.
Well, they put a
you've
couple of
spare... You've never put something together. You've never put something together at IKEA and had like six things left over.
Well, no, not that penny. Like usually they have a couple of, you know, nuts and bolts that are still left over. You know, they put a couple extra ones in there, but no, I have not had six parts left over.
You just shake the thing. Ah, that's pretty stable. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is worthless. I don't need a screw there.
Could you imagine if pilots, let's go back to airplanes. Let's say pilots didn't follow directions. They're just suggestions, right, Chewie?
You mean directions on how to go? Yeah.
This is why Chewie thinks he could land
a plane. It's like what I've always said about religion, right? There's no right or wrong religion. It's like, okay, you want to go from the studio to my house. Well, you could take a helicopter. You could take a car. You could take a bike. You could walk. There's no right or wrong way, right?
I think this is a separate conversation. Yeah, you're correct. But right or wrong is different than directions. If you give me the directions on how to get to your house and I don't follow them, I'm going to get lost.
But what if you said, hey, Chew, I want to go through the country to get to your house. All right, we'll go this way.
Yeah, I mean, they're different ways.
Just a suggestion.
I can't believe I'm losing this.
It's just a suggestion.
I can't believe I lost this battle.
Yeah. Chewie is out-debating you right now.
This is unbelievable.
He's doing a really good job of out-debating you. You got no shot here, big guy.
Yeah, I give up.
Big guy.
I fold.
Big win. Big win for the big guy.
Chewie was right. Holy Chewie was right.
I have no idea what the hell I was talking about here.
You've been a great lawyer.
Is Za'Darius Smith, is this whole thing concerning? We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But I do want to tell you about my friends over at Palermo's Pizza, because you want to get into the game with Palermo's Pizza, Packers' ultimate fan sweepstakes. Look, I did this last year where I had a pizza for every meal during, you know, the first round of the professional football playoffs, because it was fantastic. They had the breakfast pizza, had a pizza for lunch, pizza for dinner. Palermo's and Packers football, they just go together. Well, you can get into the game with Palermo's Pizza, Packers Ultimate Fan Sweepstakes. Buy any specially marked Palermo's pub-style pizzas at participating Wisconsin retailers. Each specially marked pizza contains a special code. The code is printed on the underside of the paper label. Enter the code online at palermospizza.com/packers for your chance to win. Prizes include tickets to a game to deliver the official game ball and a $500 pro shop gift card, autographed Packers helmets, autographed Packers footballs. So make sure you are picking up your Palermo's pub-style pizzas at your Wisconsin retailers, because Palermo's, proud partner of the Packers and Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewie.
Choco Taco. All right, guys.
What?
Take care, be good.
Choco Taco?
No, it has to have a stick.
Yeah, but Gabe
has to have
knew.
A stick. I have a very knew. Strong rule. It has to have a stick.
Jen, Gabe knew.
Wait, we're going to skip over Jen saying that it has to have a stick?
Oh, it does have to have a stick.
On 94.5 ESPN.
To say, I think he's locked in. Everything, I mean, I haven't seen anything or noticed anything about him different. Same guy, same, you know, come in happy, great energy, talking to all the guys. So, Z.
That's Kenny Clark talking about Packers outside linebacker Za'Darius Smith. And Za'Darius Smith has been kind of a story this entire training camp, from the injuries to maybe the injury is lingering a little bit longer because he's unhappy about his contract situation. And then yesterday, Chew, something interesting happened. So the Packers, who under Matt LaFleur, under Mike McCarthy, the Packers did not vote for captains. They had weekly captains. Different guys would go up. And then for the playoffs, as per NFL rule, they had to have playoff captains. And those captains would have to have the C on the jersey. That was something that was initiated by the NFL a handful of years ago. So the first two seasons, Matt LaFleur, as the head coach, they had three captains. They had three season-long captains: Aaron Rodgers, Mason Crosby, and Za'Darius Smith. So offense, defense, and then one guy from special teams. They held a vote yesterday to determine their captains for the 2021 season. And they ended up with seven captains, three on offense, three on defense, one on special teams. On offense, Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, Mercedes Lewis were the captains. Kenny Clark, Jair Alexander, Adrian Amos were the captains on defense. And Mason Crosby, once again, the special teams captain. So it's worth noting that Za'Darius Smith, after being a captain the last 2 years, was not a captain. Voted on by his teammates. Chew, is this a big deal? Like, how big is captainship in the NFL?
After you've been the captain for the last 2 years, it's pretty big. Now, I don't know why they got away from this. I like the captains every week because I would actually get excited. Because how it goes down is, and we play for stupid stuff like this. So back in my day, you would name, like you said, offense, defense, and special teams. And before the game, you would take a picture of the alumni who was, you know, at the coin toss during that game. So if you win the game, right, and I've got about six or seven of them, if you win the game, you get a plaque with the picture of the four of you with a plate that, you know, gives all the information when, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's stupid as it may sound, you played for that, right? And then for the playoffs, we did just like Green Bay did, 3 offense, 3 defense, 1 special teams. This just creates a problem, I think. Really does, for this reason alone. Now, this is just one other thing that's going to infuriate him, because I'm sure Za'Darius Smith, matter of fact, I'm positive, when he saw that T.J. Watt signed, right?
And got that massive contract.
T.J. Watt, what's his average? He gave $28 million a year?
I believe that's the annual average, yes.
The first thing Za'Darius did is like, number one, I'm better than that guy, right? That's what he said, and I'm getting screwed by the Packers because they're not paying me anywhere near close to what T.J. Watt is, right? That's the problem. If things just keep compiling and compiling. Now, from someone that had a bad back and sat out a year because of a bad lower back, the fact that LaFleur says, I know what it is and doesn't tell us, would lead me to believe that he has disc problems in his lower back.
Well, right? Matt LaFleur yesterday talked about Za'Darius Smith and said that Za'Darius is in good shape, but they're not sure about game shape for this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, he seemed like it, but, you know, again, it's, you got to go out there and prove it on a daily basis. And so as far as where is he at and how many plays could he contribute, you know, I can't answer that right now.
I guess the whole surprising thing about this thing to me, Chew, is he came into Green Bay and he's had good years the last 2 years. He made the Pro Bowl. He had 13.5 sacks, 12.5 sacks, hasn't missed a game, played all 32 regular season games his first 2 years in Green Bay. And now he's at a point where, you know, there weren't any signs. You know, it seemed like he was this fun-loving dude. His teammates loved him, as pointed out by him being captain the first 2 years. This thing has seemed to me has gone so south so fast, I just don't know what to think of it.
Well, number one, Gabe, a back can turn on you like that,
yeah,
right? You can twist it one certain way, and the next thing you know, you got 2 bulging discs in your lower back, which are extremely painful, and it's tough to play with. I don't know how, and then he's talking about his plays. I think there's more to the back than we know, and there's only so much you can do for a back. I mean, you can get an epidural, which I've had before, which are extremely painful, but it's not going to take all the pain away, you know? I just don't know. I mean, obviously he's disgruntled, right?
Yes.
Because of his contract situation, then you put the injury on top of it. I just don't know what to expect out of him this year, because back can turn just like that. And this would be a huge loss, right?
So, but that's where I'm coming down. Like, how concerned are you about this whole Za'Darius Smith thing, from the injury to him potentially being disgruntled to him not being a captain? It just seems that for the last month, ever since training camp started for the Packers, it's been negative story after negative story about Za'Darius Smith.
Well, he kind of has a case, doesn't he? What did he have in sacks last year?
12.5.
12.5? And 26 I think TJ Watt had.
In his 2 years Watt for the Packers.
And T.J. Watt had 15 last year, so the number's not that far off. The problem is, I think the Packers' new stance is, hey, You've been a great player. Thanks for your time. You have a bad lower back. We don't want you anymore after this year. Right?
Well, it's very obvious it's like that they're not going to keep him next year at the set. Much like the Aaron Rodgers situation, right? With Aaron Rodgers, his cap hit is very high next year. Za'Darius Smith, the way that they restructured his contract this year, his cap hit is going to be very high next year. So the only way he would stick around is on some sort of renegotiated deal. Or the Packers are probably, with Za'Darius, maybe they try to trade him, but more than likely they would just cut him.
But there's more to read into than the Za'Darius and the Devontae, right? I mean, did you guys think Devontae would be signed by now?
If they wanted to sign him.
Ooh, that's an interesting answer. I
don't think they want to sign him. I really don't, Gabe. I think they have to because, I mean, next year's cap situation, they're going to have to trim a lot of fat just to get under the cap, right?
Yep.
And their MO is kind of like, what was it? They don't like second or third contracts?
The third contract is usually the questionable one. This would be Devontae's third contract. Yeah. There have only been a handful of guys that have gotten contract number three from the Green Bay Packers.
And I mean, I can tell you this. If Aaron isn't coming back next year and this whole thing flames up and they wind up trading him, I really don't want Devontae back either.
The one thing I do want to ask Jason when it comes to Devontae is, when do you have to be cap compliant? Like, if they throw the franchise tag on him, would they have to immediately be cap compliant? Would they have to have the room under the salary cap to throw the franchise tag on him? Or could they franchise tag him, and as long as he has not signed anything, technically that doesn't count against the cap, and then they could trade him and trade his rights, however that works, and do kind of a... Because he would certainly have value. If you threw the franchise tag on him, you could tag and trade him. We've seen that happen. Heck, the Packers have done it a couple of times their history.
But what if no one wants him? You know what I mean? What if no one wants to trade that much for him? Look at Deshaun Watson. What a screw-up that was, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a top five, top seven quarterback in this league that's going to be sitting on the bench the whole year because they waited too late or waited too long to get rid of him?
Well, and the teams were interested and the asking price was still really, really high. Now,
how do we know that's not going to happen with Devontae if they,
Well, somebody's going to trade for him. Like, somebody would trade for Devontae, yes. Now, I'm not saying, you can get a first round, you can get two firsts and a second back for him. I'm just saying get something for him. If it ends up being a second round pick, it's better than just letting him walk out the door. And somebody would easily, I think, give a second round pick for Devontae Adams.
Oh, yes. I think they may even give a first round pick.
Yeah.
But,
so you
I mean,
get
are
whatever
you with
you
me?
Get.
If Aaron doesn't come back next year, you might as well purge the roster, get cap healthy, get where you can spend a lot of money, and rebuild this team under Jordan Love.
Yes, 100%. Because I was on board of, if Aaron Rodgers did not return this season, trade Devontae this year, because you would still have him under contract.
Yeah.
And it would you'd obviously at that point be in rebuild mode. And I would just try to get as many picks as I can to start really rebuilding the roster around Jordan Love.
Let me ask you guys a question about the roster, too, because kind of going off of this, like, if we all agree, because I'm with both of you guys, if there's no Aaron Rodgers next year, there's no reason to keep Devontae Adams, there's no reason to keep Za'Darius anyways, or you're probably not going to keep Prez. Like, you're going to get rid of all these guys, you're going to purge the roster, and you're going to rebuild. This season, though, what's the mindset of the players? Like, are any of them, like... Are any of them thinking, well, I don't want to ruin my next contract? Or is there a mindset, well, I got to get this win? That's where the Za'Darius thing comes in for me. He should be thinking, you would hope anyways, look, I want to get this last win and then move on to wherever I'm going. But instead, you see the TJ Watt thing, and you're like, well, I don't want to get hurt either.
Yeah, no, that's the tough thing, Ashton. And that, you know who that falls on? Is LaFleur. Because LaFleur is in charge of keeping all these guys happy. So he's got to kind of blow smoke up them and say, hey, you know, I talked to them. They're trying to get an extension done, which is a total bunch of crap, right? They're not. That's the fine line, because then guys start creeping into their head. Devontae, can you return punts this week? You want me to return punts and you can't even renegotiate? I'm telling you, it creeps into your head. You know, when a team doesn't want you anymore and is just basically renting you for your service, even though you're a great player, mentally, that kind of messes with your head a little bit.
But we both agree, right, that if the Packers wanted to, they could have re-signed Devontae Adams by now, if they wanted to.
They certainly could, yeah. But where does that put them? for the cap next year. You know, then you have to start. I mean, who's more important to this team 4 years from now? Jair or Devontae?
Who's the quarterback?
Jordan Love.
Right.
Jordan Love.
Like the again, it always comes down to your quarterback. Like when we were having the conversation with Craig earlier today, and he's listing off all these teams in the NFC that he thinks could potentially go to the Super Bowl. We're discounting a handful of the teams that he thinks are really good because their quarterback isn't good enough. Like Kirk Cousins, nobody believes that the Vikings are good enough with Kirk Cousins to go to a Super Bowl. As much as I like a lot of those teams in the NFC West. Like, depending upon what's going on with Trey Lance, depending upon what's going on with Jimmy Garoppolo, are they actually good enough to get back to a Super Bowl? Or is that, you know, an aberration when they went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago with their defense, their offensive line, their running back core with Jimmy Garoppolo?
I just think people have a tendency to discount, like, injuries. And I'm not saying injuries to your skill positions. It's like, does Kansas City maybe win next year if... their O-line going into the Super Bowl isn't beat up. Does Green Bay beat Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game if they have David Bakhtiari? That, to me, is the only way a Minnesota or a Dallas or an Arizona can win a Super Bowl is if these other high, you know, top five, top seven power-ranked teams have massive amount of injuries. Then it opens it up to more teams. But right now I'm not saying Dallas is Super Bowl worthy.
No, I think they're better than that. Offense is really good. That defense has some issues, and that's kind of what I thought that they would be. And maybe their offense was helped last night by the Sean Murphy bunting injury as he went out pretty early in that contest. The Jewelry Center is the place to go if you are looking for an engagement ring. It's where I went. They took a lot of the stress out of the situation. And if you don't have a clue, like most guys, well, go on our social media. Take a look at your significant other's Facebook, Pinterest. Get ideas. Send those to Jewelry Center, and they can probably help you out. Or just browse their online inventory. That's what I did. I went to shoptjc.com. I knew the color of the diamond in the middle that I wanted. I kind of had some ideas, you know, took a look, found about three rings, went in, talked to them about it, and eventually settled on a ring. And I'm happily engaged, going to be getting married next year. But they have other things as well. They do in-house repairs. They have a goldsmith, a watchmaker to repair your jewelry and watches. Large selection of GIA-graded lab-grown diamonds. So just go to their website, shoptjc.com, to see all of their inventory or stop into one of the three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, and you'll be glad you did with the Jewelry Center.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Because I saw the report this morning on the TV. It says, does not require...
What? You sounded so damn old. I saw the report this morning on the old TV.
Says he is going to need surgery. I've torn my meniscus. You've torn your meniscus.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It started with a whisper.
Ashton, do we have to eat TV dinners today?
I think we have to. No, I think we get to.
So we asked it earlier today. It's on the poll, one of many polls that we've had. Do you like TV dinners? 68.3% of people so far saying no, they do not. But Chewy has given them a pretty high endorsement. I didn't realize Chewy was eating a TV dinner like once a month. Gets a Hungry Man Salisbury steak and he just chows down as a snack. As a snack, he says. Also, Chewy said directions are just suggestions, and so far 48.2% of people agree with him on that. And they also, because Chewy said he didn't understand clapping, 31% of people say they do not understand clapping, 69% of people say yes, they do understand clapping.
Ashton, what do you think of the direction?
It's frustrating to me, honestly. It's frustrating.
Pretty much 50-50.
It's so frustrating because I look at it with cooking. Here's the example. I know, just hear me out, guys. Because baking is like science.
Oh, baking, you
have to follow the directions.
Yes.
And cooking is an art.
No, you don't. Yes. No, you don't.
With baking, you do. If you want baking stuff when you're dealing with flour, and if you're dealing with like baking and desserts.
Gabe, that's how you set yourself apart. Otherwise, everyone's baking good tastes the exact same. So you have to kind of go out on a limb and say, you know what? I'm going to add a little bit of this, a little more of that to make it different. And that's how you find the best of that product. Right? Otherwise, no. Everyone's eating the exact... No, because, Ashton.
Here's the thing, Chew. If I put like a pinch of cinnamon or like a dash of nutmeg, like that's fine. I'm talking about if you're putting in like half a teaspoon of baking soda instead of half a teaspoon of baking powder, whatever you're cooking is not going to bake or rise or do whatever it's supposed to do as well as supposed to.
No, like pizza or spaghetti sauce, right?
Well, exactly.
I have to have a little bit of sugar in my sauce to take away some of the bite of the tartness.
Cooking is an art.
That's not the recipe.
Yes. Exactly. Well, no, Chewy, that's the difference between cooking and baking. Cooking with the things that you were just talking about, pizza, sauces, things like that. Yeah, that's more of an art where you can freestyle with it a little bit. Soups, you can kind of freestyle. If you are talking about baked goods, you're talking about cakes, you're talking about cookies, like you have to have certain ratios right. And obviously there are going to be some recipes that are different that you can experiment with. Like Ashton just said, a little bit of cinnamon, maybe a little bit of nutmeg to separate yourself. But if you're talking about things that have to rise, if you're dealing with baking, you got to get that pretty precise.
But Gabe, how many times do we see it on a Food Network show where they're like, well, this has a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and then this shaker bottle is our secret recipe, and I cannot tell you it's in the safe. That's not in the recipe. That's their little thing to give it a twist that sets them apart from all the other guys. That's all I'm saying. So directions are a suggestion.
I already bowed out of this. Okay, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I mean,
Ashton, bowed out here. Ashton already did tap out of that conversation. He said that you defeated him in the debate earlier today. If you want to hear that debate, you can catch it later today when it's posted Wisconsin On Demand. Packers Saints coming up on Sunday. Chewy, what's the thing that gives you the most faith in the Packers? What's the thing that's most concerning about the Packers?
The offense, I'm not worried about. Right?
Even with the offensive line, they're gonna.
Because the 12 factor. And I don't think – did Craig actually say that the New Orleans Saints are a Super Bowl contender?
He did.
That's ridiculous. Now, their offense typically is going to look a little slow, maybe to start. But in the end, it's just going to be like riding a bike from. I'm not concerned about that whatsoever. All of my concern is on the defense. I want to see their scheme. I want to see their matchups. I want to see their personnel. That's going to tell us a lot. Now, I know it's only going to be one game, but from that, I will have a pretty good feel on defensively how they're going to play this season.
So that's the one thing to me. Like, how long is it going to take? I think if the defense is bad, we're going to know pretty early. But if it's good, it's going to take some time, because I just think back to the first year of the Matt LaFleur era. The Packers beat the Bears 10-3. And Aaron Rodgers, right after the game, declared, "Oh, we've got a defense now. This is great. We've got a defense. It's awesome." And then that's the same defense that just got absolutely torched on the ground by the San Francisco 49ers a couple of times that year, including the NFC Championship game. So he made that proclamation, but the proclamation seemed a little too soon. So even if the Packers' defense looks good against the Saints, like, at what point are we going to know if the defense is good or if it's just mediocre? Because if it's bad, I think it's going to stand out pretty obvious.
I want to see how bend but don't break they are. You know what I mean? What do we all remember about Patton? It's like, how much is he going to bring it? You know he's going to bring it in some games, right? In the games that they struggled in defensively, what's the one thing we say? Why didn't he bring it more? Right? And what wows me from a defensive coordinator standpoint is exotic blitzes, right? Which sets up really perfectly for the Saints' D. I know we're flipping to the other side of the ball, but exotic blitzes with a rookie guard in center, you know? That'll be another point. But are they going to sit back, everything in front, Tampa 2, Green Bay going to have to dink and dunk their way, which is really not their game, or the Saints? That's going to tell me a lot, I think, for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I'm most curious to see about that defense. I am concerned about the offensive line, because that's what this line, Chew, once they reposted it with the neutral site, game being played in Jacksonville, was at 4. It's now shrunk down to 3.5. So it just, that offensive line is causing me a little bit of concern, because if David Bakhtiari is healthy in this game and then they're only starting one offensive lineman, or if they have Elgton Jenkins on the interior, even if they're starting two rookie offensive linemen, I guess I'm a little less concerned, and I think that they can figure it out, and it's going to be fine. It's Aaron Rodgers, it's Davante Adams, it's Aaron Jones. They're going to score enough points. Maybe there'll be some rough patches. But with the offensive line completely reshuffled the way it is without a David Bakhtiari, I'm just really concerned that that could really disrupt the offensive flow.
I mean, this Josh Myers thing, Chewy. Like, the rookie center, is no one else that worried about it as much as I am?
No, I am. But the one thing we know about the offensive line is there's help on the way, right? We know in six games, Bakhtiari, you know, barring any other injuries to the offensive line, we know Bakhtiari, who's the best in the league, is going to be at left tackle, and Elgton Jenkins is going to be moved to guard, which is an upgrade, and then you have just that Myers in the middle.
But those six games still count. Like, those six games, they're still going to play those six games.
But, Gabe, what if the defense is a complete disaster?
I can't imagine.
It's just, they're bad.
I can't imagine
it's
it being
over.
I can't imagine it being a complete disaster. They have too much talent to be a bad defense. They might be a mediocre defense, a middle of the pack defense, but I can't imagine that with the talent they have, especially in that secondary, that the defense can be just straight up bad.
But is a middle of the pack defense enough for them to win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
I don't think you can be 15th and win the Super Bowl.
I think they can. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, there we go. Kansas City Chiefs the last couple of years, their defense hasn't been spectacular. They've gone to one. They've won one. The Packers, with a mediocre defense last year, could have gone to a Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that things are going to have to break your way. You're going to have to kind of make your own break sometimes in the playoffs if you don't have that dominant defense. But if it's a middle-of-the-pack defense, it's good enough for the Packers to go.
You think? I don't know. I think you got to be better than 15th or 16th. I think you got to be creeping on that top 10. You know?
What was Kansas City the last 2 years?
Kansas City last year was 16th in yards allowed, 11th in scoring. That was last year.
So it's like right around the Packers.
So you take the average.
Packers were 9th to 15th.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing.
I don't know. Gabe, I have no idea. I have no idea what Joe Barry Carroll, his philosophy is going to be.
He's going to be Joe Barry Carroll forever, right?
Is not the greatest. Yeah.
I mean, yes, his track record isn't the greatest, but I guess the one thing that gives me hope is that the defenses that he was coordinating were also pretty deprived of talent.
Yeah, not very good. Sure. Sure. I mean, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. We're going to sit here, and it's not going to be just one game, Gabe. Give me five games.
Oh,
give me six games.
Without a doubt.
Right?
Without a doubt.
Give me a good team. Give me a good offense that he's going to play against and see what happens. Right?
Well, that's the issue. Like, the first couple of games here, they're playing New Orleans. I have no idea what their offense is going to be with Jameis Winston and no Mike Thomas this week. Next week, they play the Lions, which isn't going to be a good offense.
No.
So it's going to take a little bit of time before they absolutely get tested and by a good offense. We end the week, each and every week, with our hot and our cold. And we'll do that coming up next.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
In fairness, he calls, what do you call Ben?
What's Shawnee's name?
Brusk. He calls Ben Brusk. Ben Brusk. So.
Wait a minute. What is his name?
Brust.
Oh, I thought there was a K.
Yeah, that's very obvious.
Yeah, we knew that. It's kind of like breast.
There's no K in breast.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go. So put your best face on, everybody. Pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang. Let's go out.
We like to go into the weekend a little, a little good vibes going. Maybe throw some bad vibes in there, too. It's the hot and the cold every Friday. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's time to take the temperature on the news of the week.
He's got more grease than a thermometer.
Who's hot?
Boy, this was the best day ever.
And who's cold?
I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Alrighty, I will start it off, and it is a hot for the Packers, but a cold for the Tampa Bay Bucs, and that is the Tampa Bay defense. Certainly did not look like a top 10 defense last night. Prescott throws for 403 yards. I think that's a good thing. I thought this defense would be possibly take a run at number one at the end of the day. Like I said, this could be good for the Packers. Gives me a lot of hope because I thought there was a gap between the two because of the defense. So positive and a negative.
I've got a cold here. It's just straight up cold. And somebody on the text line had asked earlier what I thought about the captain's picks of Steve Stricker. I'll give my full thoughts on Monday on the tee because I'm not going to spend this show talking about Daniel Berger.
Thank you.
But Patrick Reed, not a captain's pick, and he decides, or somebody on his team decides, whoever's running his Twitter account, to like about a dozen tweets that were disparaging of Steve Stricker, including one calling Stricker a coward.
Ooh.
Like, this is just Patrick Reed being Patrick Reed. He's a petulant child. He's throwing a fit. He's, you know, kicking and screaming because he wasn't a captain's pick. But this pretty much just, to me, ensures that Patrick Reed, unless he automatically qualifies for a President's Cup or a Ryder Cup, captains aren't going to pick him because he's going to throw people under the bus. He's going to throw captains under the bus. He's never done anything wrong in his life. So Patrick Reed, man, like, as good as he has been on Team USA, although the last time he was actually good for Team USA was 2016, and that was 5 years ago at this point, he's not going to be an automatic selection. He's just too unpredictable. He's not unpredictable. He's predictable. He's going to throw you under the bus.
Yeah, but what's the gap between Berger and Reed, though, Gabe? Obviously, it goes Reed, and then how big is the gap?
Oh, it's not
because
very big.
I think he should have been on the. It's you don't think
big.
So?
It's not. Patrick Reed hasn't been playing very well. Like, do you know who Doug Gim is? Because Doug Gim has made more birdies than Patrick Reed on the PGA Tour in the last 3 months.
I did not know that.
Yeah, like Patrick Reed hasn't been playing. A, he hasn't been playing good golf. B, the gap between him and Berger isn't that big. And C, like, it doesn't have to be big because Patrick Reed's just going to be a pain in the ass. It's not worth dealing
with. Don't you want that, though? You don't want that in the Ryder Cup?
Not on your team.
Guy with a little fire.
No,
not on your team.
But that's the issue. Like, because Ian Poulter is a pain in the ass when he plays for the Europeans. But the Europeans and his teammates, they love him. Like, he's a pain in the ass to the Americans. Like, Patrick Reed is a pain in the ass to his own team. He threw Tiger Woods. Dude shot like an 80 in the best ball format, and he threw Tiger under the bus.
I just want to be entertained.
Yeah. I want to win. I want to win. What else you got?
All right, I got another positive. How about Gronk last night?
Sitting on my bench.
Eight catches, 90 yards, two touchdowns. Gabe, you told me this guy was washed up.
Did you watch him play last year? He looked old. I didn't realize he was on that TB12 diet.
He got healthy.
He looked good last night. Blocked well, caught the ball. I won't even bring up the other guy, Gabe, who probably would help our team out a little bit, but I'll just let it go because you know who I'm talking about.
He had one catch in the second half.
No, the guy that had five catches, 121 yards,
one catch
average 24.2, and a touchdown. Does that get you in fantasy points? My guess that would be pretty nice little chunk there.
One catch in the second half. Overrated.
Who's better? Ho, Gabe.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have, Randall Cobb or Antonio Brown?
Six in one hand, half dozen the other.
All right, okay. I'm making
headway. Look at their stats from last year.
Baby steps.
Look at their stats from last
year. Baby steps.
They're pretty much the same.
Gabe, you're only as good as your last game.
Really?
All right.
Oh, man.
Was that for me?
Undecided.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Toad. Look, he's sitting out there defending Antonio Brown. He's throwing out Gronk. Dude's a Tampa Bay Toad.
You should have put him on our fantasy team.
Still angry.
I've got a hot. How about the Milwaukee Brewers? Magic get 21 games left in the season. Magic number to clinch the division is 10. They're gonna clinch this division with like 2 weeks left to go. They're running away from the Reds. 12 games clear of Cincinnati. Sitting there at 86-55. It's quietly going about their business. Also, good for them, the Giants keep winning. Giants have a 2.5 game lead over the Dodgers in the NL West. The Brewers, I've got them down as a hot.
One other quick hot. I got college football. Another great week. Not sure on the 11 o'clock game. Badgers are at 11.
Yep.
They're at 6.
No, they're
right?
at 6. They're at 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's horrible. Okay, you got Iowa, Iowa State, where Jen's at should be an awesome game, and follow it up with Washington versus Michigan. Go Huskies.
Well, I mean, we are running out of time here, but I don't know if you happen to look at the baseball standings, Chew. Do you see who's the number one, the second team in the wild card? On pace to make the playoffs? Oh, it's your San Diego Padres. It's a Friars.
Friars!
They're making the playoffs, big guy.
God,
you're going to have to deal
wait.
With this.
Why aren't you hitting the toad button now, Ashton?
Because we're
you
not
fake White Sox fan.
Well,
and Gabe,
oh, you watch
fake
yourself.
Red Sox fans.
You watch yourself,
you guys
are
phonies. You're such toads. I hope they tank it.
Sitting pretty. Sitting pretty right now in the wild card spot. Oh, that'll do it for Jet Gabe and Chewy. Jet will be back on Monday. Wildy and Tausch coming up next.